Afternoon, everyone. 12:15. That's a new time to start the agenda. 12:15 to 1 o'clock. And the afternoon show is just about to begin. So please consider this. And it's not like me to quote Petulia Clark, really. Many of us have no idea who she is or was, and that's fine, as long as you accept that she sang a song called Downtown. And it became a big hit. I mean, not a little hit, a big hit back in the mists of time known as the 60s. Now, if you were not there, you can thank me later. I was there, and I parted on your behalf, knowing that you'd catch up sooner or later. You were yet to be born, and I always hate to miss a go-go, or a hippie blowout, or a showbiz love-in, or a wild media be-in. I'd hate to miss those. So the song Downtown was written by the records producer, a guy named Tony Hatch, who lived in England, and for whom we offer some measure of thanks. But to Petula, we have to comment that the presentation was a little hokey, and you didn't go back and change it. You just left it that way. You were true to yourself. And the song was innocent enough to be played on Top 40 radio and on your mother's quiet, predictable listen-at-work station, tell a friend, because of the lifeless music stations that we like to have that we listen to at home. And they should lose their license, quite frankly, for talking so softly and earnestly about soft rock and the worst yet, soft hits. You see, even in the 60s, we were preparing for a time when bell-bottoms would no longer be desirable. Ask Petulia, she was planning it. Not even downtown, where the hipsters hold sway over proceedings and one has to have a keen eye to maintain social control, just over those who hang out with you when you're downtown. Listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalks where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? Now, those are the actual lyrics to that show. And we stretch that out to downtown Wenatchee and you got something. Let me count the ways. And I could go into detail. But, you know, remember the time downtown we ran into the Hells Angels? That never happened. Or our encounter with those 10 guys that looked dangerous, little warrior types in the Game of Thrones? Never happened. So we go downtown to meet the unofficial major domo of all things downtown, and this is real. This happens. Linda Haglund's here from the Downtown Association. So is Meredith Hilger, and we're going to talk about all things that are happening in our city. She knows what's new. She knows all the stuff that Petulia Clark and Tony Hatch left out of their song. And maybe now that we say good afternoon to the ladies, they'll tell us what's going on in our very own city. Linda Haglund and Meredith Hilger, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, right? Good afternoon.
Sort of. It's gotten, is there smoke in this room too?
No, absolutely not. Clear, clean, feels good.
Is it just an illusion?
It is.
Let's talk about our downtown. In fact, I just walked by the Thai restaurant down there. Are they closed or are they just on a long vacation?
She usually typically takes a vacation this time of year. She'll be back.
Because I will lose part of my vitamin intake if she closes.
Good. She is so good. So I have to go back to Petula Clark. And the words say, if you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. So I kind of like that.
I told you she would know her stuff.
Absolutely. I saw her on TV last weekend. So she's still singing that song and it's still beloved. And we love it because it talks about our downtown too, because it's a place you can go always.
That's right. And it was kind of like the lonely girl singing a song about how she could always find acceptance downtown.
That's right.
And there's a message you can live with.
And where can you go? Where is the place to go? You can always go downtown. And that's the same with our downtown for way, as long as this community has been around, it's always been a downtown. So I love it.
The funny thing is, I go downtown virtually every day.
Mm-hmm. See ya.
And there's still stuff changing all the time.
Always. And always going to.
It just will not stay in one mm-hmm. place. And sometimes I look around and go, am I on the wrong block? Mm-hmm. What happened to the thingamajig that used to be there? And some things change dramatically, but some things change not very much at all. What's the record for downtown residents?
Well, I the consistency of downtown is it's an historic downtown with great historic buildings that all have a story to tell. So we have these buildings, many of them over 100 years old, that have great stories. What has changed is the people and the businesses that have occupied them. And that's the change you're talking about. The buildings stay constant, right? And there is upgrades always. But the businesses that occupy them, they give them a little bit different look and face changes. One quickly that I can mention is that we are saying goodbye to another what I call legacy business, one that's been in downtown a long time, and that is Collier Jewelry. Phil and Carrie Collier, guess what? They get a reward for lots of hard work and good planning. They call it retirement.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I'm not quite sure.
Do you have any details?
I don't know. If I could figure that out, that would be awesome. But anyway, the Colliers have figured it out. So the end of September, they're going to close their long-standing jewelry store in downtown. I never worry about businesses coming and going and closing because I believe that's a sign of a healthy and vibrant downtown. They get a reward. It's very similar to a sad, what a lot of people thought was a super sad thing when we lost Mills Brothers. But guess what? Sam and Vicki Mills get a reward for years of hard work and good planning We call it retirement. And as a community, we allow people to retire and just look forward to what is new, not only in their journey, but in the journey of downtown. So Collier, that store is on a pivotal corner I look at the Morris Building.
Oh, yes.
I'm not worried a bit about it because that building owner, Mike Salmon and the Salmon family, understand what it's like to be a great landlord and understand how to support small business in their building. It's just a matter of time.
One of my favorite buildings is the Morris Building. You know why it's called the Morris Building? Do you know any history there?
Yeah, I do, but I have to look it up. It's one of my 256-page historic information book that I have in my office. But yeah, there is history. It's the second oldest brick building in the city. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, the first oldest brick building still standing in the city.
It's got great presence, great style.
It does.
It catches your eye immediately.
But let me tell you something why it does, and this is not totally about the Salmon family, but I have to give a shout out to them. They have kept it relevant. They have put significant amount of resources into that building to keep it alive, breathing, workable building that is very comfortable to lease from. That didn't come by accident. It was intentional, and they've intentionally kept upgrading and changing that building that you can enjoy it today, and it looks like a step back in time, but it's very modern on the inside.
Let that
very
be a
cool
lesson to all the other landlords.
I know, right? Super cool. Super cool. So, yeah, a part of a vibrant and healthy downtown is businesses change. So what you see when you walk through downtown is exactly that, and you'll see more of that this year.
You probably know all the insides and outsides of everything, but is anybody moving into the jewelry facade or into the Mills Brothers building?
We have lots of interest in both buildings so far, but what will happen is both landlords, in both cases, both property owners believe in something very important. It's not just okay to put a live, breathing body or business in there. It's something that needs to fit in the downtown and thrive. We embrace that attitude because we want whatever's in there, and the building owners want whatever's in there to be something that's going to work for both them in our downtown. So something that's appropriate, that can thrive, and they can help that business thrive. And so it's very intentional when they lease that. So what we do twice a year is that possibility store, and that lead me right in. Good job. So in September, we're going to tour some of these spaces. Collier will be one of them, and tour that space unless Mike has leased it before now and then. But they'll still be on their last stages of that business. So we'll be able to look in that and see what space is available and let people dream a little. And you've seen maybe if you've been in downtown those signs that say, I wish this was.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of our conversation to really engage the community in what would you like to see in your downtown? What ideas? What businesses, because we get asked all the time, what do we need, right? So we want to engage the community.
What
and I wish
tell
this
you?
Was.
What's the number one answer?
Boy, we have a lot of requests for, eating more, a grab and go type of quicker, very similar to what Mela does, you know, some more options for those quick lunches, that kind of thing. We
I
get
like that.
That.
I endorse that.
Yeah. And always we get asked for more opportunities for wine tasting and that nightlife type of feeling. And so we get lots of requests for that. And then there's a myriad of other ideas, but what we want to hear is what do people want? So on those signs, we give you options to engage with us so we can pass those on to the property owners.
I was down at the Pybus Farmers Market this weekend, and it was a nice day, and people were wandering around, and one of the booths decided to have a wine tasting moment.
Mm.
And my God, did they get attention.
Mm-hmm.
People were lining up as if it were free wine.
Yeah, I know, right? So that's very popular in downtowns now. And we have a couple of opportunities for wine tasting already in our downtown. So there's always a request for more people like that.
And when it comes to downtown, do people call you from far and away, like someplace like Issaquah, you know, on the other end of the world, and say, We've given this a lot of thought, but we need some advice from you. Can you answer X, Y, and Z about downtown?
Absolutely. Meredith and I do that all the time. We get those phone calls in our office, and that's the phone calls we want, right? Because
they're
part of
Meredith?
Our organization.
You know, people are just always kind of curious about the area and wanting to understand a little bit more about what Wenatchee really is. People know a thing or two or think they do about Leavenworth or Chelan or those kind of touristy places around us. But this community, this downtown, kind of the heart of where we are, we get asked a lot of questions about just what is downtown, what's the environment down here, and what the possibilities are.
And we have an opportunity to connect them to those property owners that have property for lease.
Excellent.
So we're just about to launch a brand new updated website this month. So exciting. And a tab on there will be available spaces and that are for lease, because that's probably the number one question we get asked. What is available, what's the square footage, and who do I contact?
Are downtown rents, leases, at any time, the reason that someone goes out of business is becoming more expensive, that it's a burden, or is that's another town?
That's not here. The reason downtown is, people love downtown, is that the leases by far are appropriate and reasonable for the space allowed. That's typically not it. I think what we face, obviously, in our downtown, we face life situations, retirement. We had a great long-standing business. Last year, actually, we had two substantial businesses retire, and then one long-standing business that didn't retire, but their family moved out of town. Husband, it was a wife-run business. Husband took a job, and they, as a family, made a decision to relocate as a family. And so those are what I call life situations.
Yeah.
I think what's facing, and the reason I love this community, is we do a lot of messaging about buying local and support local. With, what do they call it now, the Amazon effect, with these opportunities for people to purchase, what we see in our downtown is that people are thoughtful and mindful to honor and support these small businesses. We see it more than just Small Business Saturday, right, when we do a full on-court press on that one. But we see people really supporting these small local businesses. And so I think probably a bigger threat to small business, and what we try to work on, is a support system within them, you know, to support each other. And then also keep the community mindful that these small businesses are your neighbors. They go, your kids go to school with your kids. They are small, excited on small businesses that need local support.
And they might be working harder than you are, so go by and say hello.
Absolutely. And just pop in and thank
them. Chances are, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, we do an initiative with both the Chamber and Wenatchee Valley College School for Entrepreneurship. It happens once a month, and it's called 1 Million Cups. And this 1 Million Cups is a presentation of these 0 to 5 year businesses that talk about the challenges they face. And then it is a collaborative opportunity for small business to support small business. Super fun. And that support that they get. Those kind of things we want to keep active, because small business, they're brave souls.
Yeah.
They are usually out there on their own and
playing against the odds.
And many of them are finding ways to combat, you know, the internet or the Amazon effect or whatever you want to call it themselves. You know, I know Peggy at Pickle Papers is a really great example of that. She does direct email marketing, and you can order some things online through her own local business. And she does something called the Pickle Package, which is essentially a subscription box. And that's so popular in this day and age. And so I think that if you look for something that you are trying to find, you will find it locally. And a lot of people, that is top of mind for, but it's always something good to hear and a message for us to spread.
A lot of times in the weekends, we'll see the sidewalks alive. The cafes have the extra tables outside. People are putting displays on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. Is that something they can do anytime, or is that only sometimes?
You know, we're really thankful that the city has seen a really need. Obviously, we do a sidewalk sale once a year, and obviously some people extend that more than just once a year. But I think what you're seeing and feeling is actually something really promoted by the city, understanding that people want to be outside. Believe it or not, in the outside condition today, walk by Mela. They added those extended tables down the sidewalk.
They're full.
They're always full.
Yeah.
And so the city is seeing that and responding to that. So you will see more of that coming.
Plus, you don't have to go to Mela to enjoy that environment. Just walking by is a bit of a gift.
It feels different, doesn't it, when you walk by? You'll see more of that because the city recognizes and supports that effort. So you're going to see more of that in downtown in this year.
The mayor is coming in this week to talk, and one of the things I wanted to talk about was the parking plan, because they were considering changing parking entirely in terms of the rules governing it, especially for overnight parking downtown, so people would live downtown.
Mm-hmm. Permitted. Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
It's really going well, and we're about to launch something called a Customer First Program along with the city. There'll be new parking branding to help our tourists get directed to the free parking on below Palouse, those public lots that are not timed parking. So a Customer First Program is really an initiative that the building owners and business owners encourage their employees to leave the parking for the customer first. And so we're pushing through that initiative with the city, and that will do a pretty good push on that in the fourth quarter to help people be mindful that, you know, everybody wants to park in an easy place. We get that. But really, hopefully, leaving the parking for our customers first.
Well, if you're listening in India today and you're going to come in to do some shopping because you can't stand the smoke, just keep in mind, you don't have to walk all day. It's one block.
I know, right?
And during that one block, you're probably going to see something that you wouldn't have seen otherwise if you had parked right in front of the store that you wanted to visit.
Put your Fitbit on and get some steps in, and
there
let's
you
go.
Let's go. But the parking downtown is going to change, and one thing that's going to help that change is you expect people to be living above their workspaces.
We do.
Or if not living above their workspaces, living above someone else's workspace.
And the suggestion has been that to allow some permitted overnight parking. So if you're living, you want your car. So maybe certain times, hours of the day would be permitted overnight parking. And that's the conversation that the city's working through right now.
Our guests are Linda Haglund and Meredith Hilger. We're talking about the Downtown Association. When we come back, there's a movement afoot to honor our heroes. And what does that have to do with downtown Wenatchee? Well, I'm so glad you asked. We'll answer that question right after these words.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ. The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's supposed to get to 96 degrees today. Somehow I doubt that. It's just a little too much cloud cover for us to have that much heat. I'm Michael Knight. Our special guest today, Linda Haglund and Meredith Hilger from the Downtown Association of Wenatchee itself. If you haven't been to Wenatchee's downtown, I mean, if you listen to the show but you don't get into town every day, that's okay. Just make sure you get here by Friday, okay? Walk around and enjoy yourself. How do you describe and explain this idea of honoring our heroes that you came up with? That you were inspired by some other city that did this, and now you're going to make it happen here?
I was. You know, thankfully, my board sees the need to send me to a national conference every year to get other ideas from other main streets across the United States. And this one came from another main street way across the United States. And they honor their local heroes by putting banners with the hero's picture in it every year. So we decided we can do that here. Let's give a clear message to our community that we honor our heroes. So this project is our Heroes Banner Project. A banner will hang with heroes' pictures on it in the month of November this year and next year. There is a cost involved with getting a banner with your hero, and that cost is $200. Some of that money goes just to produce the banner, and what is left over from that contribution will go the leftover to our local VFW, and they 100% of what we give them will go to support those families of those currently deployed or veterans families in our community. So what we're asking for is to honor someone who served or is serving currently that's connected to you in this community. The timeline is we really need that information right away. We need it this month, and we need a picture. We need to know the branch of service that they served and the years, if you have, that they served, like 19-whatever to 20,000-whatever. Currently, we have at least two banners of current serving. And
wow,
that's going to be super fun. I brought you an example of my daddy who has served in World War II.
Here he is, right in front of me.
I'm going to get to honor my daddy in downtown, so I'm buying a banner. But the cool thing about this is that they will hang for 2 years, this November and next November. And when that is over, the families can have their banner. We'll give it back to the families. They can keep it and as a great tangible reminder. Just a little bit of information. Our banners are big. They are 8 feet by 2 feet.
And they'll be
That's
hanging,
a big banner.
They'll be hanging where?
They'll be hanging in downtown. In the downtown core, Mission Street and Chelan, there are a total of 60 banner brackets. So depending on how many we get, we'll extend them into the different areas. We do have two businesses that are supporting and paying for a banner for someone else. So we are reaching out to maybe those who did not have the money to do this or wanted to honor a veteran or someone currently serving. Then the next step to this, a little bit later in this process, we are working with the Wenatchee World to produce a Behind the Banner book, and we're going to tell you stories about these heroes. So we'll need a little bit of information and some stories about For instance, in my father's case, he was World War II, and Dad didn't talk a lot about his service. And
Very few of those guys did.
And what he did in the Army was amazing. And I've had to try to piece some of that together between my brother and I and relatives. So some stories will be long, some like my daddy's not so much. But it's our chance to honor those who have served. And again, the message will be loud and clear, at least in November, that we honor our heroes.
My father only told one story. He was in the Navy on Guam, and he had the key to the beer locker.
Wow.
For the whole damn island.
Wow.
So he had all the beer he wanted.
Yeah.
But that didn't, the only thing that did good for him was he was able to trade beer for what he really wanted, which was milk, which you couldn't get in World War II.
Yeah.
And so that was his story. And so that's not much of a war story, but he didn't want to talk about anything else.
But it's his story. Yeah. And I believe for some of these older veterans and younger veterans, it shaped so much of who they are and what they did and after. You know, they got out of the service, shaped who they are and how they connected to their communities. It's great stories.
A lot of those guys came home to the GI Bill, got an education, got a house, got a refrigerator and all those wonderful things that was happening in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the sadder part of it is so many of the people that come home from the war now fighting with realigning themselves with civilization again and different levels of PTSD so that the organizations you're sponsoring with your support from these banners spends a lot of time dealing with drug addiction, homelessness, and just alienation.
It is. And so that's why we picked the What We Did. Again, this is not a fundraiser for us. This is an opportunity for us and our organization to message. What we hope to do is to raise some money then to support these families. And that's what our hope is. And like I said, the VFW, 100% of what we give them goes to that cause.
Now, if Mr. Jones just moved here from someplace else and his father was in the Army and he wants to honor his father, but he was never, ever set foot in Wenatchee, he can play too?
Anybody can play? He has a local connection.
Right.
So someone driving down and telling his family that story that, you know, my dad, I'm honoring my father in the community that I live. So we want a local connection.
And if your kid just went off to join the Marines?
We want his story.
Let's get his smiling face up there in Marine dress uniform, please.
I am going to challenge your listeners. I don't yet have a female. We don't have a female. I would like to honor a female hero. We have lots of males, different ages. We have some from World War II. We have Vietnam. We have other conflicts and currently serving and deployed. But we don't have any females. So we want you to engage with us and help us honor your hero. And again, it does cost, but the money goes to making the banner and helping our local community. So I think it's a good cause.
And your loved one gets not one, but 2 years of display in downtown.
And it's two-sided, and then you can have it. Pretty cool.
And you put it up in the rumpus room.
You can, it's 8 feet, so got to have a place to hang it, but it's going to be good.
I see there's a couple mock-ups here in the paper that you give me featuring your father's young face. Which design are we going to go with? And can you describe it for the folks at home?
We can. So it will say we honor our heroes and a picture of the hero. And then below gives my father's name and the branch in which he served and when he served, his years of service. And then below is a picture, you know, of an American flag. And we just want it very patriotic, very, very clear that they are heroes to us in our community. So it's a really fun mock-up, but remember they're 8 feet. So when you think about that, the picture of the hero is 4 to 5 feet. It's a good size picture. You're going to be able to see it really good. You can see Grandpa or whoever the case may be from down the street.
There he is.
Yeah, you are. And it's going to be super, super fun. And then for those businesses that want to participate and maybe sponsor one, will be an opportunity to message that in our little book.
How do you think people can take part? What would be the first step?
The first step would be contacting us. So either if Facebook, social media, you can find us there. Our website is wendowntown.org. You can Google us. We're going to pop right up. Or our phone number, if people are writing it down, is 509-662-0059. Meredith and I can guide them through this process. Again, though, by the end of this month, I need the photo, the branch, and the years they served. And then what we will do then is the money part we can talk later. The story part can come later. Right now, we got to get the banners in production to get them here for a November hanging.
Now, you know what it's like on the 4th of July? The city puts up flags, mm-hmm. oftentimes during the Apple Blossom
feel
Festival.
Like that.
Everybody puts up their posters saying, you know, the 99th Apple Blossom Festival. So this would be a chance to actually honor the citizens who once were just folks walking down the street.
It is.
Now they're in their uniform back in 1945 with their picture above the street level or right now.
In a little sneak peek,
2018.
Is that we have, like I said, a current business owner in downtown who's honoring their son that's currently serving. And then we have another downtown person, and I won't out her yet, but she's the city council member that's honoring her son. And so how cool is that to, like, again, the message is loud and clear for people to come here. We honor our heroes in this place. It's important.
I had a question because I go to bed so early. If there's any activity at night around here, I have never seen it because I wouldn't ever see it.
You got to get out more, Michael.
I'm out now.
Got to get out in the evening more, Michael.
Well, that's a hard one for me. So what night is the one that rocks out when the restaurants are full and everybody's having fun?
What do you think?
Weekends, I would say mostly. Fridays and Saturdays is when the restaurants and
probably someone would say, well, what's wrong with them to ask us such a silly question? Friday night, Saturday night, that's a night out, but
we have a business downtown called Norwood, and that pretty much gets going any night, and especially when you have something going on at the Pack, and then you have all the different options for eating in downtown. There are some places that have music, and right now through the end of the summer will be the summer concert series on those Friday nights in Centennial Park. So really, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And some businesses like Norwood are choosing to do their own types of, you know, music, different events in store and that kind of a thing. So I think that those types of things always bring people down whenever they so choose to have it.
They have their own audience to draw upon. They can tell them when there's action downtown. Well, I had a question for you.
Okay.
You were mentioning that there was going to be a possibility looking to the future. What would be the number one addition to downtown would mm-hmm. be some place with the grab and go gourmet food that would be quick to go. And it occurred to me, is it difficult to convert a storefront into a restaurant and have it legal and up to code? Does it take a fortune to do that?
Depends on the building. Depends on the condition of the storefront. And they do it all the time. And some have converted to a restaurant, back to retail, back to a restaurant. So it really depends on the building. There are some historic relevance issues that you have to determine, but most of these businesses can be converted. Probably where the challenge comes is the level of cooking you're going to do. You know, cooking the hoods for the grills and that kind of stuff.
Grease traps and all that.
Those kind of things would I think, but you know, I haven't done that. So yeah, that would be my answer, that some of it can be a restaurant, a bakery, converted to retail, back. So it just isn't that hilarious?
Take out the ovens, take out the grease traps, take out the sinks, put in dressing rooms.
Yeah.
Take out the dressing rooms, put in the kitchen.
So before we go, can we mention one other thing?
Anything you want, Linda. You're in charge.
So it's really fun. When I went to National Conference a couple of years ago, another community did this new project that I'd like Meredith to mention. But it was super fun of an engagement piece that our downtown can do to engage a demographic in this community that we saw there was a need. So, Meredith, you're it.
So it was an initiative called Young Professionals Week. And when Linda came back from conference and told me about this, you know, we field phone calls to our office all the time of people who have either moved back with their spouse or that kind of a thing, or are moving here new to the area, working for Confluence or one of our other large employers in town, and are just really looking for ways to connect. It's my humble opinion, doing what I do, that the heart of this community is the downtown. And so it felt like a no-brainer to put together something called Young Professionals Week. And the first time we did it was last year. It was a week-long series of events held in the downtown, meant to showcase the downtown in a way, but also really just bring young professionals in the valley together to connect not only to downtown, but to each other. So we are in the
throes. So this is yuppies networking. To talk in 1998 terms.
Yeah. I don't know if I would say yuppies, but.
Young professionals.
YPs.
Pardon me, young professionals.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't take it personally.
So we're in the process right now, really in the throes of planning for our second annual Young Professionals Week. And I'm thrilled to announce that it'll be the week of September 24th through the 29th. We're going to go Monday through Saturday this year, which is a little twist, a little different than last year. We were just Monday to Friday, but really what it is several different options and a variety for everybody. So hopefully anyone could find something that was engaging for them. Of different times of the day where you could come and do some type of an activity. And, you know, we don't define you as a young professional. So if you identify as one, come if you're interested. We don't have a specific age range, or I always get asked that, but we really just want this to be a connection piece for the
downtown. How does that work? I'm a young professional. I drive in from Leavenworth. What happens?
Well, there's going to be more information up on our website. Again, we're wendowntown.org, and we do have a Facebook event. We're at Downtown Wenatchee, Facebook and Instagram. We're at wendowntown on Facebook and at underscore Downtown Wenatchee on Instagram. And we are going to put up a detailed schedule of events, and we haven't quite released all the details yet, but we do have that event live and are encouraging people to check back. I can tell you that our kickoff event will be at Pybus Market, and that's going to be on Monday, September 24th. And we're going to be doing a luncheon, but with some of our sponsors talking, a few people from my YP Week committee talking, and to find out a little bit more about why we YP Week and what it's meant to do for you in this community.
And then probably something wonderful will come from that, and it will snowball, I should think.
All week, there's going to be different options for people. People can come in and just really, we're going to get that schedule of events up in the next coming weeks here. And they can choose what works for them and their schedule. We understand that everybody's different. Last year, we incorporated some morning pieces. They weren't really well attended. We found middle of the day and after work especially really kind of worked best for this demographic. So that's what we've aimed for. And we've got a jam-packed schedule for YP Week this year.
I learned something from my daughter, who's a millennial. She's a young professional. She said, my generation likes to do business with people who give back to the community. They sense that is a way not to judge someone's emotions or their heart, but just to say, you're in business, you're making money, and one of the things you're going to do with your success is plow it back into the community in which you live and tell people, if you buy this, 20% goes to this. And I'm not suggesting that be the direction you go in, but I was amazed to hear her speaking in that way with such certainty about a generation that really reacts to that level of entrepreneurship.
I agree. And it's really my personal belief, honestly, that anybody who owns a small local business is already giving back to this community. We see it all the time, you know, people, different organizations, and it's often under the radar, whether it be sponsoring, you know, a youth sports team or things of that nature. But to open your doors and serve this community every day in something where your passion lies, I think that's its own form of giving back. So we love to showcase the downtown. We love to showcase the variety of things that downtown has to offer. And we invite people to come down here. You know, different ways, different things we do. YP Week is coming up in the fall. We also have some other really fun programs coming up in the fall. I'll just mention a couple. We have Trick or Treat the Avenue, which happens always on Halloween.
So imagine that.
October 31st from 3 to 5, we're going to have Wenatchee Avenue shut down for 3 blocks, and local business owners will be giving back with their own.
Last year, I saw Linda in her costume. She was out directing traffic. Put that stuff over here. No, put that over there. All right.
Linda and I will both be out directing, and those local business owners will be handing out candy on their dime. So another way of giving back.
And when you come downtown, keep this in mind. You're not just seeing a shop where you can buy something. You're seeing people living out their passion.
Exactly.
I like that.
And serving the community in a different way than anybody on the internet really can. So.
And to tell us one more time, because we have to go, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. We're out of time, about how to take part in the banner project.
So please contact us at wendowntown.org. or Linda at wendowntown.org. Reach out to us, and we'll get you all the pertinent things you need to get this going right away. And before we go, I always have to say thank you to Cherry Creek, Michael, KPQ. You allow us to come in, and as a small nonprofit, you have no idea how beneficial that is for us to message in this way. So we are very grateful. From our downtown hearts, we say thank you.
Well, from my black media heart, I say you're always welcome anytime.
Okay, I won't repeat that, right? Okay.